We bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we begin a new year, there are lots of questions, a lot of things for us to look forward to. And as we do that, may we be focused upon the power of your grace, your love as it transcends to each of our lives, so that we may truly discern what is important, what gives us meaning, and the power of your love as it shines through our lives. And so we ask, Lord, lead us, guide us, and empower us to live in the light of your love. Amen. This morning, we want to look at the text from the Old Testament, from Kings, from 1 Kings chapter 3. It's an interesting text. And so I'd like us to begin this morning with a question. What is important in your life? Well, you know this is a sermon, so you know where it's going to end up. But take a moment. What is it that you consider important in your life at this time, having gone through 2020 and looking forward to a new year? 2020 made us face that question over and over again. We found out a lot of things do matter. And we found out that other things are not as important as we consider them to be. What really is important in your life? Well, when it comes to money, we as Christians like to downplay that because, well, it's nice to think about, but it shouldn't be the only thing we think about. And so we ask ourselves, what really is important? Last night I watched a movie, and maybe some of you have seen it, but it kind of focused on what I wanted to talk about today. The movie is called Clouds. It's about a teenage boy who dies of cancer and has to deal with what's really important in his life. And he writes a song that becomes a hit called Clouds. I'll warn you, get a box of Kleenexes if you're going to watch it. Think about what's important to you. As we have gone through 2020, we haven't been able to travel. We've had to do a lot of things we didn't want to do, but it was the right thing to do. Some of us think about early retirement. Some of us think about traveling. Oh, I can't wait to travel again. I'm one of those that likes to take cruises every now and then. Love being out there on the ocean for a while. Or just spending a few days in the mountains. Some of you might even be thinking about, man, it's been a tough year and it's been tough times and maybe I ought to think about early retirement. Or some of you may be thinking, boy, if I could just turn the clock back a few years. Or sometimes you look in the mirror and you have to deal with the reality that when you look at that picture of when you were 18 and what you look like now, you wonder if you're the same person. But you are, in many ways. But oh, how you have changed. How about family? What's important there for you? It's great to have children. It's even better to have grandchildren. At least that's what appears at the moment when you're going through that. But really, what's important? Then we come to the text. This text from 1 Kings. It's an interesting text. You know, I realize I've hardly ever preached on this text because there's so many other lessons that are so important this time of year, and yet somehow, because of 2020 and all the things going on, this text struck me kind of important. Because if you look at the text from there in 2 Kings, here is Solomon. The king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, and it was for the great high place. And he came to offer burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord came to Solomon in a dream and asked, "What shall I give you?" Now, there's an interesting question. What shall God give you? If you had to stand before God and answer that question, what kind of answer would you give? Yes, this was a dream. And you look, God says, "Ask what I shall give you." And Solomon says, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in faithfulness and righteousness and in uprightness of heart towards you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love and have given him a son to sit on his throne this day." And you know, that wasn't easy, but here it is, the reality that Solomon is now on the throne. "And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of David, my father. Although I am but a child," this has to be very early, he might be in his 20s at this time, "I do not know how to go out or to come in." Do you remember when you started out your career? I know when I became a pastor, it was very frightening to think about all these things you need to do and be able to do, and are you ready to do them? And yet God works through all of that. Just as Solomon remembered. And so, "And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted for multitude. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this, your great people?" What an understanding Solomon had at that moment to be able to say to the Lord, you know, "Give me discernment so that I may govern your great people." It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this, and he said to him, "Blessed are you that you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right." And then he goes on to say, "Behold, I now will give you all of this." Solomon, in the midst of the dream, is challenged by God. God invites him to just ask for one thing. No, he hasn't been on the throne long. He probably didn't understand what his kingship would all be about. He had seen the great things that his father had done, how the kingdom had advanced, and how now Israel was this great nation. And he was able to inherit it all. And God says, "Ask for one thing." He's sitting there with this great empire, and he's now king over it. People are looking to him. He had much he could just bask in. And yet, this kingship, what does he ask for? Discernment. To be able to have the wisdom to know how to serve the people of God. Solomon had received so much. He had all this power, all this wealth, and he realizes that God can give to him his steadfast love. Think about that steadfast love that's a part of this text that the Hebrew brings out here. Steadfast love is a Hebrew context that really we could spend not only this whole sermon on just steadfast love, but we could do a whole Bible study on steadfast love. Think about it. God abounding in steadfast love in your life and my life. God is the source of our salvation. He's the one who brought them out of slavery into the promised land, living in the great moment of history they are now living. Why? Because of his steadfast love. They had all of this before them. It is that steadfast love of our God that moved them through the history, right up to the manger, where we just a few short days ago celebrated a birth. A birth that would lead to suffering, death, a cross, so that you and I might enjoy his steadfast love being revealed to all people. And that steadfast love endures right up to our time, to our lives, as we live them out in 2021. Important to our understanding are two passages from the Old Testament for us to think about. The first is 2 Chronicles 6:42. O Lord God, do not turn away the face of your anointed one. Remember your steadfast love for David, your servant. And there we are reminded of that steadfast love of how God led David, how God led his people. And then Isaiah 55, verse 3, incline your ear and come to me, hear that your soul may live, and I will make you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. And we live in the power of that steadfast love even today. This covenant was extremely important to David. It was foundational for the Israelites and their understanding of the coming Messiah. They believed in that promise and in that covenant that God had made. And from that line of David would come one who would stand on the throne forever and ever. Understanding, discernment, wisdom. What a thing to ask. It's a part of the Old Testament history. The idea of wisdom leading and guiding. And there again, if we wanted to do a word study on that Hebrew word of wisdom, we not only could spend a whole sermon, we could spend another Bible study just on the word wisdom. Because it was through wisdom that God created all things. And what does Solomon ask for? Wisdom, a very practical request. Wisdom, discernment, important in your life and in my life. Important to getting things done right in our world. We could all use a little wisdom right now as we begin 2021. You see, that wisdom wasn't just for the spiritual things, but it was also for all things, the earthly things as well. So that brings us back to the question. So, what is most important to you right now? We just came through Christmas, a very important time. We're on Epiphany here coming up Wednesday. Easter will soon be upon us. And so, what is it that's important to you? God has been there from the beginning. God, through history, brought about the greatest act that he could, sending his one and only Son, taking our place so that we might have that steadfast love and might be able to have a heart of discernment or wisdom. Think about it, the most important thing for each of us is God's wisdom for his world. Solomon knew, as he related to that question that God asked him, that the most important thing he could have is discernment. To really have the wisdom, and God promised him to be the wisest of all the kings. And sometimes when you read the text of Solomon, you wonder about all that wisdom when he has 1,000 wives and a few other things he did along the way. And yet, it was that heart of discernment that led him through each and every one of those situations. Wisdom helps us to see the harmony we have with the Creator. Look around us. Our world struggles with harmony. We don't see it much today. We're on the brink of a lot of things that don't look very pretty right now, because we want it our way. What is it that's really important to us today? Think about that. The world is struggling. Our country is struggling. And too often the goal is, what's in it for me? Because that's what really matters. But is it? As you begin your search for a pastor here in this congregation, what is it that's really important to you? It's God's wisdom, God's steadfast love, that he will be with you no matter what, and he will lead you to even greater avenues of service. Christ was born, suffered, died, and was raised from death to life so that he might give to you a heart of discernment and wisdom. So what is it that's really important to you? During the coming months, you will be guided to look at your needs. You will be guided by an interim pastor who will ask you to look at where God has placed you in this time. And what does he have in store for you? What you need is to see the most important thing you can have is his steadfast love. That he never deserts us nor forsakes us, but he leads us through each and every day. He leads us through the darkest moments in our lives. He leads us through those very bright and shiny days. God is not finished with you here in this place at this time. He has a ministry for you. He has an importance for you. And you need to ask yourself, what is really important for us? Remember, we always have an eternal future. That's because of the Christ child, born in a manger for you, for me. He has done it all. And so as you look to 2021, as you look to calling a new pastor, keep before you that question, what's really important? Because without God's wisdom, steadfast love, and continual grace, you are nothing. But with his steadfast love and continuing grace, he opens before you all kinds of possibilities. Amen.